Hello, Queens, and welcome to our royal community. If you are here, then this is officially your royal community too. I'm your host, Latanya Porter, a wellness mentor, helping middle-aged women find vibrance, passion, and purpose in the aftermath of life's challenges. Our royal community will focus on strategies to help you along your journey to build your empire. I am so glad you're here. Now let's get started building our queendom. Hey, Queens, thank you so much for tuning in this week, and I have an amazing guest for you. Aisha Taylor from FN Phenomenal is going to speak to us today. I fell in love with her. I say I found her about a year ago, but I fell in love with her message about a year ago. So I am really excited to have her on today. I know that she has an amazing message for us. So I am going to give her the floor and just let her tell you all about herself and her amazing brand and her awesome message. So, hey, Aisha.
Hey, how's it going? Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for being here. I really appreciate it.
I just really appreciate you just inviting me. I'm just so grateful to be here.
So I want to, let you jump right in and just tell us. I know that I fell in love with your message a year ago because I was in the process of kind of getting my life together. So the fact that you coupled your education experience in finance with biblical principles was something that really, really spoke to me and it resonated with me. So I know that there's somebody else that feels the same way I felt that needs this message and it needs to kind of hear your story. So can you please just jump right in, tell us about yourself and your story and take us right into your brand and your message?
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Aisha Taylor and I am the founder of FN Phenomenal. And through FN Phenomenal, I help single moms to thrive financially and to live phenomenally using biblically based principles. And so the reason why I came to that, I'm going to give you the Cliff Notes version, but it was a really long journey because I actually started my brand FN Phenomenal when I was still working in corporate. So right now I stay at home with my twins and I am an entrepreneur full time. And so when I was in corporate, I did corporate finance for about 6 years. And so during my corporate finance experience, I have an MBA in finance. I actually have another master's degree as well. But the thing that I went to school for was finance. And so I was really excited to be working in my field because I know that there are so many people who graduate from college, graduate from grad school, and aren't blessed to work in their field. But I was. And so that, that excitement turned into a nightmare because I ended up dealing with workplace bullying. And so I dealt with workplace bullying for about 2.5 years. It was a really stressful and miserable time for me. And my doctor told me that the stress was impacting my health and that I needed to go on FMLA or quit. And so by the grace of God, I just went into a season of fasting and prayer. And by the time it was over, God gave me a different job. So I was able to leave that job, go to a different job. And the beautiful thing, still being able to work in my field. And there are a lot of other benefits that were even better than the benefits in terms of proximity to where I lived. It was just so like when God moved, he just truly moved. But the thing is, it's during that season of workplace bullying, I started FN Phenomenal and really grew it. I wrote my first book. When I wrote the book, 5+5 FN Phenomenal Ways to Save $100 Without Killing Your Lifestyle, I was in the middle of workplace bullying. And I started to really pour into FN Phenomenal because I just wanted to convince myself that I was worthy, that I wasn't this person that they were trying to make me believe. Because part of the thing with workplace bullying, it was almost like, mental abuse as well, where they were just trying to convince me that I was worthless as well. So it was just really a hard and trying time in my life, dealing with anxiety and panic attacks. And it was just a really difficult and dark season for me. And so FN Phenomenal was really grown and birthed though through that pain. And so when I look back at it, I'm grateful for it because had I not gone through that, it's like I would never have done what I'm doing right now. And so FF Phenomenal, when it started, it was a way for single women to manage their money better and to learn how to view themselves as worthy while also pouring into themselves to learn how to manage their money better. And so fast forward, I ended up becoming a single mom. And so I tried to keep FF Phenomenal the way it was, just really working with single women with no kids. But there was a tugging on my heart to do something for single moms, because at the time I saw different finance experts and they were giving different advice, but most of the advice was tailored towards married families with kids or singles just coming out of school trying to set up their life. And so I just looked at it and said, you know what? What about single moms? And even though I have all this finance training, I was teaching finance. I wrote a book about finance. You know, I worked in corporate finance. I noticed that being a single mom and having to adjust my now entrepreneurial income to cover one person to now cover three, it was a big challenge for me. Even in terms of preparing for the birth of my kids, what I needed to do financially to change what I was doing, it was very hard for me, not just from a practical piece of it in terms of like learning how to make my money stretch in different ways. Because, you know, if you ever had a lean budget, trying to figure out how to make it more lean, like that was just so hard. And then the thing is, it's like, you know, I wanted some of the things that I was used to. It's like I had this lean budget, but I had these things that allow me to feel human that I had baked into this lean budget. Now I have to give that all up. And then having to come with the shock, you know, of being pregnant and being a single mom, that was so hard on me, just in terms of emotionally, financially, it was very difficult. And so after I gave birth and I'm still struggling with how to manage my money better, my credit score tanked. And I was just literally feeling like a worthless failure. I'm like, I can't even manage my own money right now. Like, I can't even, it's hard for me to get up and like get going again. Like, how am I going to show up and tell somebody else what to do? And I'm struggling so much myself. And so that's when God told me, like, you know, you're not worthless because you're going through a difficult period. And you still have that education. You still have that experience of managing a $1 billion budget for a Fortune 100 company. None of those experiences changed. You have to just tune more into me, lean on me more, and I will show you the way. And so that's what I started to do. And in that, like I was still serving others from a point of pain, but that became the thing that kept me going, that allowed me to see that there was not only hope for them, but hope for me as well. And it just gave me the strength to just push through and to keep going. And so in that, I just also decided, well, God told me, not I didn't decide, but God told me to change the focus of single mom of FF Phenomenal to focus more on single moms in terms of their financial management, their view that they can live phenomenally, but also the most important thing, tuning their ears and their hearts to Christ and bringing them to the feet of Jesus. So that is where I am today.
Thank you so much for sharing that. I think that's why your message resonated so much with me. I think it was like the spring-ish of 2018 when I found you, and it resonated so much with me because my background is a traumatic background. So like through childhood and everything, and I had a self-esteem issues and self-worth issues growing up. So when I became, so I have a set of twins now, they're going to be two, but I also have two boys, and my sons are 21 years old and 15 years old. So when I became that single mom at 17, got pregnant at 17, my family, you know, I went through that almost stereotypical, you ruined your life. You've disgraced the family. How could you do this? You're going to struggle. Your kids won't have anything because you can't provide for them. So when I stumbled upon your message of, no, you can thrive financially and live phenomenally, and we're going to do that using biblically based principles, it was like, okay, so God does, like, because there was a period of time when I didn't even think God loved me. He existed. I didn't, you know, deny him or anything, but I was just like, he doesn't love me and he doesn't care about me and I'm going to struggle. So my life was just kind of this punishment. And, you know, listening to your message, just like, no, regardless of what you've been through, your sins are paid. Like, you just don't listen to anybody who's telling you that you can't have a good life. Your life isn't a punishment, because that's kind of how I was made to feel. So hearing your message, it just kind of confirmed that, no, you know what? He does love me, regardless of what I'm going through, regardless of where I am or what I'm doing. You know, he wants the best for me, regardless of what anybody else is saying. He always wanted the best for me. So I think that, you know, that's why when I kind of found you and I'm just like, no, she's reminding me that God loves me. She's reminding me. She's the, you know, I stumbled across her on Instagram for a reason, you know, and I need to have her message pouring into me instead of the stuff that I had been consuming before. So you kind of, one of the things that I wanted to ask, but you kind of touched on it, you know, how you said that God called you to cater your business to single moms and to kind of lead them in faith and, you know, show them the way to find this, worthiness to thrive in life through Christ and through faith. So can you give us a little bit of background about how you came to have such a strong faith?
You know, I'm kind of laughing because it was funny, because I actually teach a Bible study, like a Bible study for single moms, like in person. And one day I was telling the single moms that I'm like, when I was asked to teach the Bible study, I was like, wait, me? Like, what? Like, but, like, I don't know if you heard me when you were interviewing me for that. Like, I've made a lot of mistakes in my life, right? And so, again, this is a long story, but my faith in Christ actually came through hardship. And I say that because, you know, I grew up in a church, used to be president of the youth ministry, you know, and I lost my faith. When I was in my early 20s, I lost my faith. And I don't know if I ever started to believe that God wasn't real, but I walked away from the Christian faith to the point where, because it was just, I didn't really... I don't know if you've noticed it, but one of my mentors likes to use this distinction between church folk and like Christian folk. Okay. And so, like, I just started to hear and just see how people weren't, who called themselves Christians, weren't living out the faith. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't understand it. And so for me in my early 20-something mind, I was just like, well, if these people are telling me to believe in Christ, but they're not practicing what they preach, do they really believe in Christ? And is Christ real? And so I ended up, and I'll never forget, like, there was one church service that I went to. It was a church that I went to once and never went back. And so I was just like, well, maybe I just need to find a different church. Maybe I need to find the right church. Maybe I need to hear the right message, get the right pastor. But it just seemed like, you know, now I reckon, now that I'm talking about it, I'm like, this was the enemy at work, you know, trying to rob me of my faith. But it just seemed like every church I went to during that period of time, it was like something that just was not biblical. It just, something wasn't right about it. And finally, really what became the capstone for me was I was in church one day, and finally I'm like, you know what, I haven't been in a while, but I'm gonna go on Easter, you know, I'm gonna stay connected with Christ, I'm gonna go on Easter, because at that point I was kind of done, but I'm like, you know what, I'm gonna go back one more time. And you know, the Easter service is gonna pull me back. But this was the worst Easter service I ever heard in my entire life. The pastor stood in a pulpit and it said, all you Easter Sunday Christians are going to hell. Oh my goodness. I don't know why you're here. You can't, there's no redemption for you. And you might as well give five times to make up for the fact that you didn't show up throughout the year. It was like, like, you gotta be kidding me. And I was like, I gave it one more go. And he gonna sit up there in a pulpit and say that? I'm like, this is crazy. And my best friend, I was about to get up and walk out of the service. Because I'm like, I could not believe the message that I heard. Because, you know, like I said, I had been a president of the youth group. So not to say I was this Bible, you know, knowledge expert or whatever as a teenager. But it's like I knew that God stood for love and God never cast away anybody. Right. So for him to stand up there in a pulpit and condemn the people who fought hard and try to push through and get a touch to him, Jesus's garment on Easter, for them, for him to say that, I was just like, no, 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 no more, no more. And at that point, I lost my faith. And I was going to convert to become a Buddhist because I had met a lady who left Christianity and became a Buddhist, and she seemed so happy. So I'm like, oh, maybe I'll do that too, because I knew that there was a higher power. But I was like, I don't know what is going on with this Christ stuff. Like, like, I just got told by the pastor I was going to hell. So I was like, well, what's the point? So I went through that journey to try and convert to become a Buddhist. But, you know, it was just funny how I just started to be able to see God working in my life to just remind me to not give up on him. Like, man may fail, but he doesn't. And so it became a process over the number of years. I left the church for about 5 to 7 years. And I left Christ for about the same time. Okay. And so, but in that, God started to draw me back. There was one moment where, like, I was just like, Lord, if you just get me through this, you know, just I just started praying, you know. And then I found myself praising God. Like, there would just be like a random, like, thank you, God, because it'll come out of my mouth. And I'm like, but wait, no, I don't believe like that anymore. They're like, no. And so, but then I just started to realize in that God still was in my heart. God still loved me. God was starting to pull me back to him. And over time, that's what ended up happening. Like I said, I had left the church for about 7 years. It had been 7 years. And then I rededicated my life to Christ. And it was funny, like, it was just friends of mine who just refused to give up on me. They were going to church. I was like, you can go to church all you want. I'm not stepping foot in that church building. You know, I would only go if there was a funeral at that point. And, but they didn't give up on me. They kept inviting me, kept inviting me, kept inviting me. Finally, I got tired of them inviting me to go to their church that I just decided to go to make them leave me alone. And in that moment, like, I mean, I went. And a matter of fact, I said, I'm not going on Sunday service, but I'll go to Bible study. And at that Bible study, I heard a message that just blessed me and made me realize that, like, God is real. And the other thing that was going on is because I had been so successful, you know, I graduated from college in 4 years, had two undergraduate degrees, a minor, went on and got two master's degrees. And I had this great job. So I started to believe that my success came because I worked hard. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes in success, we crowd out God. We think we're doing it in our own efforts and we forget that the only thing that we have is because of him. And that was also kind of in the background what was happening. I was kind of like, I'm a good person. I'm successful. I don't need God. And then on top of all of that crazy stuff that I kept hearing when I was going to different churches, trying to find the right church for me. So that was kind of going on as well. But when I heard that Bible study message, I was just like, no, like, I got to turn back to God. I got to turn back. And so slowly but surely, I started doing it. Like I said, I only started going to Bible study, but then next thing you know, I started going to Sunday service. Next thing you know, I started tithing. Next thing you know, I'm serving at church. Next thing you know, I'm like the biggest Jesus advocate teaching Bible study, you know. But it really came because God never gave up on me. And when I bring it back to the hardship thing, is one of the things that really I had already rededicated my life to Christ, and I was going on this process of getting to know God again and really diving into his word. But then out right when I rededicated my life to Christ, that's when the right price bullying happened, within months mm-hmm. of me rededicating my life to Christ. And so in that, you know, God sharpened my faith. It was like iron, you know, how iron gets processed. And it was just like being in that experience for 2.5 years to kind of go through being like, hey, you know, that's why I don't want Christians to think that people to think that when you give your life to Christ, it becomes easy, because it doesn't. For me, it got harder almost immediately. And, but in that 2.5 years of dealing with workplace bullying, God really made himself known to me. I started to hear him like never before. I started to pray like never before. I started to do things like fasting. Like, I decided to serve more. And I just started to see how even in that pain, he was working things out. Because that same workplace bullying situation, he allowed me to get tickets for free to see someone who ended up, like, because I ended up seeing Lisa Nichols speak, and hearing Lisa Nichols speak showed me what was possible as a purpose-based entrepreneur. But had it not been for that experience, someone who worked in the same department as me, where I was being bullied, was like one of one kind people to me in that entire department. And she gave me those tickets. And so from there, I realized, like, I don't have to be miserable. Like, this is not it for me. Like, there's more. And I can actually build a business helping people. And so that experience got turned around so much for my good that it's just unbelievable. And it's just really let me know just how faithful God was. And when I became a single mom, when I was pregnant, I was able to, like, even though I dealt with a lot emotionally, financially, I knew in the back of my head that, like, God delivered me from that workplace bullying situation. It lasted a long time, but, you know, he delivered me from that, turned it around for my good. So I know he can do it for this as well.
That is awesome. And that's kind of where our royal community was birthed from anyway. Like, like I said, I had the older boys, but I was 37 when I got pregnant with the twins, and I didn't plan on having any more children. So it was just kind of like, what? You mean to tell me not only am I pregnant, and the pregnancy, it wasn't super ideal. I had complications during that time frame. My boyfriend got laid off. Like, it just seemed like a lot of things were coming down the pike. And I started praying. I honestly can't even tell you what made me kind of be like, this is a faith walk and I need to take it. Because I didn't grow up in church. I, you know, never really regularly went to a church or anything like that, but I was like, no, I need to pray on this. I need to pray on this. And that whole pregnancy just kind of drew me closer to him. Just making sure I stayed kind of grounded in my faith. And it was absolutely what I needed. 2 months after the twins were born, that's when my boyfriend died. And wow. I needed, you know, so like when it happens, I'm sitting in the emergency room and the doctor is telling me, like, so he came in and so and so and so, and I'm waiting for her to tell me that they did some miracle, whatever, and he's fine. And when she was like, yeah, we couldn't save him, it's just like, what? So, you know, once I'm finished crying, it's just kind of like, oh my God, what do you need me to do? Like, what? It was just like, I'm asking God, it's like, what does this mean? And what do you need me to do? Because I thought that I was doing the right stuff. Like, clearly I'm not doing something right. What do you need me to do? And I think that the conclusion I came to was just, he just needed me to trust him and be closer to him. And he just needed me to stop. He needed me to stop having faith in stuff that wasn't grounded in him. Mm. So our world community kind of came from this. Yes, you've been through stuff and you've been through challenges and your life is hard and you're, you know, middle age and you've kind of, maybe you've even built a life based on stuff that wasn't grounded in faith, but here you are now. And for our community, regardless of what your faith is, it's just like, it's not the end for you. It doesn't mean it is the end. It really can be the beginning of something beautiful if you are willing to have faith in God, in yourself, in, you know, some other higher power, but it doesn't mean that your life is over. So I loved hearing that you said, regardless of, you know, what I've been through, God pulled me closer to him and allowed me to do things beyond what I thought I could do. You know, as successful as I was, I still needed to come back to him, you know, to make sure that I walked in purpose instead of just walking kind of in success, so to speak. So can you talk a little bit about, you know, how you integrated your education and experience in finance with that biblical perspective, that purpose that you give it? Because I really do feel like that incorporates a mindset. Like, instead of just saying, hey, you need a budget because smart people have budgets, you are telling women and single moms, no, you deserve to have a budget. You deserve to thrive financially. You deserve that. That's what God wants for you. So how did you kind of mesh the two to create that mindset that single moms need?
I think because, you know, similar to what you were saying at the beginning of the podcast, like, you have people in your ear telling you that you weren't going to succeed as a single mom. I had someone in my ear telling me that I wasn't going to succeed as a single mom. And I believed it as well. And so one of the things that I did that allowed me to really come back from that place of sadness and misery was the fact that I started to read about what God says about who I am. And so in that, I realized that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. God made me. He has a plan and a purpose for me, a plan to prosper me. And so I started to really latch on to those verses. And then because I had been studying God's word, even during the workplace bullying time, I started to look at what even God says about money. And so even things like, why is this verse escaping me? But it's talking about building a house on sand or on rocks. Mm-hmm. And so I started to think about it. I was like, wow, you know, if you're going to build a household, you need to make sure your finances are solid. Like, what are you building your household on? Like, is your household being built on sand or rocks? And then there's another verse that said, if someone's going to go, are they first going to develop, it's talking about kind of like a war strategy, but are they first going to develop the plans before they go into battle? And I'm like, wait a second, we need to be doing the same thing with our life and with our finances. And so, and then it talks about stewardship and leading of the flock. And I started to realize that as a mom, God has called me to lead my children. So what am I leading them to? So it was, and I started to think about it, like, I need to be making sure that I'm healthy, I'm whole, I'm rooted in Christ, so I can raise healthy, whole children who are rooted in Christ. I need to make sure that the foundation that I'm building is on rock and not sand. I need to make sure that I'm creating the plans that are aligned with the word of God to be the foundation for my household. And I realized that, like, when God wants us to thrive, he wants us to have abundance. He tells us how to do it in his book, in the Bible. Everything that we need for life is in the Bible. He tells us how to manage our money. He tells us not to be a slave through debt. He tells us to pay back what we owe. He tells us to be wise. He even talks about in terms of, like, not using all of your resources in one place. And like, even with the story of the ants, how the ants store up food for the wintertime. Mm-hmm. And so he tells us how to live. And once I started to see it, I'm like, part of being a follower of Christ means that we have great steward, even the story about the talents, how the master went away and gave each of his servants a different number of talents, and he expected them to have increase with them. God gives us our resources, our time, our money, our skills, and he expects us to do those. And so part of living a life that is honoring Christ, and part of living a life that allows us to be moms of God, women of God, we have to look at how Christ tells us to live. And he tells us that in his book. And for me, once I understood the biblical foundation of managing money, I'm like, this just makes so much sense. Mm-hmm. And being able to tie money management with purpose, it gave me a deeper appreciation for what I needed to do, but it also gave me more motivation to do what it took to manage my money the right way.
Okay. And that's absolutely what I take from your emails. Like, I get your emails too. But it is. And it really has helped me, not with just managing money, but the mindset that's needed to manage money, because it absolutely takes a mindset. You have to understand that not only is it good to count your money, but to know that you deserve to have money to count. Know that you can't have a money block. Like, you can't feel like you don't deserve it, or you can't feel like somebody else is entitled to it. You know, because that's part of that, you know, burnout too. I think especially as moms, like, sometimes we feel like we have to sacrifice for our kids, or, you know, for our family or somebody else. Like, we have to sacrifice. That's what you do. That's what makes you a good person. Like, you pour from yourself. Like, you have to be selfless. And I know you touched on that before, because of, like I said, I've listened to your podcast, and I've definitely like taking messages from that, but especially with now with having twins, because it's, everything is double, you know, now it's double the sacrifice. I'm splitting my time two ways. I'm splitting my money two ways, because, and everything you talk about isn't just money. Like, you talk about parenting God's way. You did a podcast about, I think it was about getting kids involved in community service, to teach them how to give and how to understand the importance of giving. So it's not even just money. Like, I think that's why I love your message so much, because it's not even just money. It talks about the mindset that has to go with it as well. So can you talk a little bit about, you know, especially being a single mother of twins, and I know how taxing that is. So talk a little bit about, if you can, how not to sacrifice too much of yourself, you know, but still know that you're pouring into your kids. Like, you kind of feel like a mom should, like, you don't burn yourself out, but you don't feel guilty for not giving to the kids, so to speak.
I think that's hard. And I'm going to be totally transparent. I do not get this right, like, at all. And one of the things I'm working on now is to create more barriers with my boundaries with my time. And for me, one of the things that a friend of mine was helping me work through is, what am I saying yes to? And so for me, what it looked like, I was just telling someone this the other day. I said, before, like, when I was in corporate and before I got pregnant, it was like, I was this hardcore career person. It was just, I wanted to run the company. I wanted to make all this money. I wanted to be able to do all this stuff. And I really defined success at where I was in my career and how much money I was making. And also, like, the things that I was able to do because I had those things. And God humbled me all the way, all the way. Took me to the point where it was like, okay, how you're going to pay your next bill, you will know it was because of me. Like, all the way humble. So, like, it was night and day. It was night and day. But in that, what I realized is that God makes a way. God provides. What am I trying to do in my own strength? All of this stuff that I'm saying yes to, is it because of my glory, or is it because of God's glory? And the biggest thing was learning how to say no to people, because I was such, and I still struggled with this, like being such a people pleaser, always wanting to say yes to everything just because somebody asked, without thinking about, okay, what is this going to do for my time? What is this going to do for my energy? What is this going to do in terms of me being able to spend more time, spend less time with my kids? And so I had, and then before I learned how to even ask those questions, I used to say, yes, 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 yes. I'll just figure it out because I'll just push through. I'll just push through. I'll just push mm-hmm. through. Because when I started building FM Phenomenal, I was working like 60 hours a week. And so I was doing 60 hours a week and then spending another 20 hours, so 20, 25 hours a week, just building FM Phenomenal. So I knew hard work. Being able to get two degrees and a minor in 4 years, I didn't sleep. And so I just figured that I was just going to do the same thing. And with building a business, being a mom, and serving. And what happened is, and I wanted to be one of those natural moms. I was cough diagramming my kids, making my kids' own baby food. Like I was doing so much in just one day. And then when I wasn't making baby food, I was still breastfeeding. And it just like, I was just burned out to the point where one day I was walking and I almost collapsed. Oh, no. And, I caught myself before I fell, but like the room, thank the Lord, like I just put my kids to bed, but the room was spinning around me. Like I ended up, I had to travel for work and I had to cancel my work trip because I was just sick. Like I didn't feel well. And God just let me know in that position is like, I have to take care of me first. And like when the Bible says your body's your temple, like we don't have like, you know, the sacred temple that they had back in the Old Testament because Christ lives within each one of us. So if we look at how the Israelites took care of the temple in terms of making sure all the rituals done, like if the temple was in tip top shape, like why am I not doing that with me? And then one of the things I had to start to pull back was what am all these things that I'm saying yes to, even with working. And so even in terms of that been phenomenal, I had to start to ask myself, am I doing this for my glory? Am I doing this for God's glory? Am I doing this because I feel like I have to, because a coach says that this is the new way of doing this, because I saw it on Instagram? Or like, what am I doing this for? And so I stopped trying to say, well, I'm going to just chase all this stuff that's like the new fashion in terms of online business and be really authentic and disciplined with how I spend my time, even in my own business. I have to be more authentic in how I spend my time and what I say yes to. I'm still working on this, learning how to sleep because I'm just not wired that way. I'm very type A. So it's just like learning how to rest. And so a friend of mine pointed me to, I think it's Psalm 127 verses 1 and 2 about how if the watchman spends all day watching, like what the gist of it is, it's talking about rest, how people who have faith rest and they're resting on God. Mm-hmm. And so once I realized like, no, wait, it's biblical to rest. You know, I can sleep. I'm allowed. God made on the seventh day God rested when he was doing making the world. Like, so why do I think that I can't rest? And when I started to think about it, I realized that it was lack of faith, because I felt like if I wasn't doing things, if I wasn't always moving, then things wouldn't happen. And that and I was an area where I am still working on growing my faith, but that was biblical, and also creating boundaries. I say yes to all, but that was kind of a long answer with kind of the things that I'm working through right now to be able to have that time, to be able to get myself to the permission and the space to really fill my cup back up. Because I just noticed too that when I was running on empty, like it was a really cranky, crabby shirt with the kids, and for me, like they don't deserve that. They deserve a healthy mom.
All right. No, it was, I mean, you say it was long, but it was absolutely a good answer, because the stuff that you mentioned are all things that I've either felt or went through or been through or still working through now. So it's much needed information. So with this kind of coming into 2019, some of us have probably overspent for Christmas, and you did a podcast episode about how to not stress yourself out and how to not, you know, overspend and, you know, that stuff. But of course, as I think especially as moms, even I remember like my oldest son, his first Christmas, it was ridiculous. And he didn't play with half the stuff. Like, he did, you know, so, I remember doing that. But I think that especially when we have smaller kids, we, you know, sometimes we tend to like, no, this is their first Christmas, their second Christmas, this is, you know, whatever it
they
is.
Don't they don't even know what's happening.
I know. I gotta make it good. So, you know, for the people
who... I did that too. They were looking like, what are these gifts? It's like, why are you telling me to open this? Why is this camera in my face?
So for those of us that overspend, and then even a way to kind of, because it's also tax refund season. I was that meme. I was the person who would get my tax refund and it was gone in like 3 weeks, and we went to the outlets and we, you know, balled out of control. You know, like I said, I had no respect for my finances. So could you talk a little bit about, you know, just kind of what's a good way to kind of either recover from a bad financial situation or take that money that you're going to get from like a tax refund or that lump sum, if that's coming in, and like, what's a good way to start budgeting and planning for that? Like, what are steps or resources that you can take for that? And even if you have some, like if you have a coaching program, please direct us to that as well.
Yeah, definitely. That is a great question. And so I do have a 5-day Finance and Faith Challenge, and you can access that at fmphenomenal.com/financeandfaith. And we're going to be going through 5 different ways where you can grow your faith, definitely, and to manage your money. And I think that day one of the first day of the journey will be very, very, very helpful, because we go through an auditing exercise, you see, finance lingo, because it used to be a corporate finance, where you really sit down and really audit your finances and to see where your money went. And so I think that that'll be really helpful. fmphenomenal.com/financeandfaith. So I think that that would definitely be helpful. But then I also want to share a couple of other things with you. So especially, I love that you mentioned tax refund season, and the biggest thing that I think you can do fund season is have a plan for that money before it hits your bank account. So if you tend to get the same tax refund amount every single year, then you can just look and say, how much did I spend? How much am I in the hole? How much did I charge on my credit card to cover Christmas? Am I behind on any bills? And so once you start to understand where you are at right now in terms of either back bills, credit card payments, maybe you took money out of a savings account to cover Christmas. So take the time to understand that first. And so know how much you need to recover from, because it all starts with knowing your baselines. So know how much you need to recover for. And then the other thing is know how much your estimate how much your tax refund is going to be. And so when you know that, let's say, just to make the math easy, let's say your tax refund is going to be $1,000. And let's say Christmas puts you in the hole about $700. Because I think, what was it? I was just looking at the stats not too long ago. I think the average American was going to spend like $800 or so at Christmas. So let's just say you did better than that. So let's say you did $700. So if you know you're going to get $1,000 and you are in the hole $700, then you know that $700 is already spoken for your tax refund. So when your tax refund hits your bank account, you know that you don't have $1,000. You have only $300. But I'm going to go a step further. I'm going to say don't leave that $300 to chance. So once you recover from that $700, start to look at all of the New Year's resolutions you're making right now in terms of your finances. Do you want to pay off even more debt? Do you want to spend more money in your savings? Is there something that's coming up for school that your kids need? So start to understand the things that are coming on the horizon as well, and the things that you want to accomplish in your finance, and see how you can use that other, maybe not all of it, maybe save $100 for you. So maybe $200 for some horizon stuff, and maybe do $100 to do something extra for the family, because you don't want to live a life of deprivation either, even though I've seen certain personal finance people say that, you know, they did that to get where they are. But, you know, I think part of this journey is also making sure that our kids are buying into what we're doing as well. And it also comes from, you know, reinforcing the Bible, explaining to them why we're doing what we're doing, but also allowing some fun and some rewards for the sacrifices that we're making as well. So even if you would normally would have taken that $1,000 and be like, oh, blow it all. Maybe say, oh, the other thing I forgot to say, tithe on that tax refund. Yes. So, you know, maybe the math has to change a little bit. So, you know, we had the $700 you got to catch up on. 100 of that goes to tithe. So we're at 800. So 100 for future stuff and maybe 100 for the kid to do something nice for the family. So I say all that to say, know where you're at, financially, what type of hole you need to dig yourself out of, and know how much money is going to be coming later in the form of a tax refund. Even with your income, now is a great time to create a budget for your income as well. And so, yeah, so if you join that finance and faith challenge, I'll be sharing some more information on different things that you can do as well, ways that we can work together.
Awesome. So I'm going to go ahead and wrap up. Please, 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 please tell us how we can stalk you. Because we need to be able to stalk you. I think I was telling you earlier that I was like, oh no, the podcast is ending. So you did have a podcast. And the podcast itself is ending, but I was relieved to find out that you will be still doing interviews and sharing your information in your Facebook group. So That's one place we can stalk you. So please, and I'm going to make sure I put all this in the show notes, of course, but please let the audience know, you know, all the places that we can find you and any resources you have for us to help keep us thriving financially.
You know what? Thank you so much. So the podcast is ending, yes, but the podcast will still be available. So you'll still be able to listen to season one. You'll be able to listen to season two. And I cover so much in there. Even the journey that I talked about in terms of the learning how to put more boundaries in my time, I did an entire podcast dedicated to that in terms of I think I might have done one on bouncing back from financial mistakes. I talked about impulse spending. Like, I talked about so much in terms of faith and finance, parenting God's way on the podcast. And the podcast is still going to be on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. And you can find that it's called the Phenomenal Moms Podcast with Aisha Taylor. So you can definitely find it there. And then you can even catch all the podcast episodes on my website as well, www.fnphenomenal.com. The fnphenomenal.com website definitely houses the podcast. Like, I wrote blog posts and embedded the podcast in those blog posts. But the website is also going, I'm going to be writing more as well. So I'm going to be blogging more on that site. And I'm so excited just to be able to, like, I have so much material that I can't wait to post. Like, my passion is writing. I love writing. And I love talking to people. But it's like, I have so much stuff that's going to be coming out. And there's this one post that I'm really excited to share that's up on the website now on fnphenomenal.com. I was so afraid to post it because I talk about letting go of the small things in your life and talking about small mindsets and things that don't serve us anymore. And I share for the first time about how I viewed myself as a single mom when I first found out I was going to be pregnant, and I thought that I was going to fail. I was afraid that I was going to fail my kids. I do have a podcast about that. Are you afraid you're going to fail your kids? But this one really goes into, it talks about how my limiting single mom belief started to manifest itself physically in my life. And that is something I've never shared before. And so definitely I encourage you to head over to epiphenomenal.com. I'm so afraid to tell you this, but yeah, check out the post, Letting Go of the Small Things in Your Life. Because, oh my God, you're going to be so surprised. You're going to be like, you've been going through that for 2 years while you're showing up and serving everybody. But it really gives me a time to focus more on one of my first loves, which is writing. So definitely check out epiphenomenal.com. And also, I have a Facebook group. It's called Phenomenal Moms. And so the direct link to that is facebook.com/groups/phenomenalmom. Somebody beat me to the Phenomenal Moms thing. So it's singular. So it's facebook.com/group/phenomenalmom. And you can access that Facebook group. So the interviews are going to continue. So I'm still going to be doing interviews in that Facebook group. I'm still going to do like special trainings as well, in terms of faith, finance, and phenomenal living in that Facebook group, as well as doing faith, money, parenting challenges. So yeah, so we're gearing up for some really cool stuff. So the podcast might no longer have new episodes added to it, but it will continue in a different form in the Phenomenal Moms Facebook group. And you can still catch all of the old episodes either on my website or on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher. Oh, and then I'm also on social media, on Instagram at FM Phenomenal. And if you need to contact me, if you message me, I'm like very accessible in the Facebook group. I answer questions and stuff like that. So like, even if you have some questions about implementation, or like, hey, you know, I got a question about this budget, let me know, because I've been really looking, sourcing ideas from the group about what challenges, what trainings they want to see. So that way I can really meet the needs of the moms and really help us all as a group go on this journey to become financially free, live phenomenally, and most importantly, grow closer to Christ in the process.
Yes. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Yes, I truly appreciate this. So guys, like I said, everything will be in the show notes. So if you need to find her, I will make sure that it is available to you. I truly can't thank you. And like I said, I've been stalking you for a while, so I've been wanting to do this interview for a while. So I really do appreciate it. You guys have an amazing week. Thanks so much, Aisha.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning in. There's no community without you. Please visit my website, ourroyalcommunity.com, where you can grab a copy of my free ebook, Stay Reigning: How to Turn a Messy Past into a Masterpiece, or my published book, Your Queendom Awaits: How to Let Challenges and Traumas Guide You to Triumph. You can also check out my blog, Just My Thoughts, a blog created with the inner queen in mind, on my website as well. I will be talking to you guys soon, and remember, never hold back. Your queendom awaits you.